Now, I want to just talk to you tonight about one verse from John's Gospel. In Matthew's Gospel, the story of Jesus begins with Joseph discovering that his bride-to-be is pregnant. In Luke's Gospel, the story of Jesus begins with way back where it happens to her cousin Elizabeth, and she becomes pregnant from her husband Zechariah, and then we get told about Joseph and Mary. The Gospel of John is different. It tells us the story of Jesus, but it tells us from a different perspective. What it does is it shows us that Jesus did not begin in a stable or in a womb of a virgin, but Jesus was, to use a sort of slightly theological word, pre-existent. Jesus existed before he was born. Bit difficult for us to get our head around that, isn't it? Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was God. And John's entire purpose in writing his gospel is to get this one message into our heads: Jesus is God. To the Jewish mind, and remember, John, who wrote this, was a Jew, to be God is to be creator. And so John starts his gospel with this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Does that sound like anything else you've ever heard? Maybe the first verse in the Bible, which also starts, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John uses the structure of his sentences very cleverly, because he wants you to get the idea right from the first verse of his gospel that Jesus is not just a prophet. Jesus is not just a good man. But he wants you to get this message above anything else he has in his repertoire, which is simply this: Jesus is God. If Jesus is God, he was there in the beginning. And so he tells us that in the beginning was the Word. Why the Word? Well, you see, Jesus wasn't Jesus until he was born in Bethlehem. And they named him Jesus. That's when he became Jesus. Before that, John gives him another title. He calls him the Word of God. And so the Word of God was always there. And we know the Word of God was used in creation, because the Bible tells us, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then every bit of creation is God speaking. It's, and God said, let there be creatures crawling across the ground and in the sea, and let there be an expanse between the heavens and the earth, and let there be all these things. And it's always God's Word. And so John tells us about his beginning story of the Gospel of Jesus, goes way back to Genesis, and says, now this is where my story starts. Jesus is God. And if you look through John's Gospel, you'll find John is very selective about the miracles he tells us. He talks a lot about creative miracles. Like the very first miracle is changing water into wine. Created. Jesus creates wine in a jar. Something which takes winemakers months. Jesus did it with a word. Oh, that word. That same word that God had said, let there be light. Jesus says, let there be wine. And there was wine. And the whole of this story is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And right now, John is introducing him to the stage of our lives, and he says, in the beginning was the Word. And now I'm going to tell you about the Word. And he goes on to say, in him was life. And he goes on to say, that was the light of men. Now, this follows on, doesn't it, in Genesis chapter 1, because God creates life, the Word creates life, and the Word creates light. And so, John is reinforcing these ideas in our heads. He's saying, my Jesus, that I have just spent years walking this earth with, and now has gone into, ascended into heaven after his resurrection, this Jesus is God, and let me tell you about him. He's God because he's full of life. He's God because he is full of light. He is God because everything he says comes to pass. Very powerful stuff, this. And he talks about how the light of Jesus illuminates our dark places. Now, I wouldn't want a show of hands or anything, but we've all got a dark place. Paul very bravely shared with us about his dark place. There's a lot of people got a dark place. But Jesus is the Word of God that creates light that can illuminate even your dark place. God sent him to shine light in your darkness. So it doesn't matter how depressed you get or how secret the things you do in the privacy of your own home, or how other things that you do you would rather not know anyone about, you would rather not have anyone who knew about them. Jesus, the light of the world, shines light in your darkness. And the fact is, even though you can't see him, he sees you. Pretty amazing stuff, this, isn't it? And so, my third point is this. Human rights. You do know, don't you, that human rights, as we know them, are an invention of the church. For thousands of years, the church has always been one step ahead in campaigning for human rights. But the worst lack of right that anyone has ever had has not been even slavery, where people have no rights. The worst lack of liberty that anyone ever had is revealed in John chapter 1. It says of Jesus, he came to his own, and his own people didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be the children of God, to those who believe in his name. This is the greatest breakthrough in human rights, because the Bible tells me way back in Genesis that God made us, God gave us a fantastic paradise to live in, God made only one rule, and we chose to break it. And since then, sin, death, corruption, everything nasty you can imagine has come into the world, inhabited our lives, brought darkness with it, so that we are now crying out for light. And now, at this point in history, John says, the God, the Creator, the light, the life of the world has stepped into our world. In fact, he puts it this way, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Where can you find Jesus? I'll tell you where you can find him. You can find him here. You can actually find him in your bedroom. You can find him wherever you set your mind to look, because Jesus is ready to be found. He has come into this world to be found. And this is not an advert for religion. This is an advert for freedom. The advert is simply this. If you call on his name, he will give you the greatest of all of the human rights. The one that nobody in this world has ever licked except Jesus. He will give you the right to be adopted into God's family. You know what they say about adopted children, don't you? They say those of us that were born into a family, their parents had no choice over, but the adopted child was picked. And how wonderful it is to know that God wants to pick us, he wants to choose us, he wants to select us, he wants to adopt us, and that applies to you. And so, the Word became flesh, moved into our neighbourhood, shines his light in our darkness, breathes life into us, and gives us the right to be sons and daughters of the living God. You know what? There is no human right like that. This is the best one of all. When you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you have the right to talk to him, to walk into his presence, to call on him at any time. He will be there for you. That is the best human right anybody could ever campaign for. And it's a free gift. It's a free gift. You have to do nothing for it. You just have to say, Jesus, I need you. Become real to me. Give me that right. You might feel a bit of a visitor tonight. Well, we welcome you. We're pleased that you've come. But do you feel a visitor in God's presence? You see, I'm a son. I have a right to be here because I've called on the name of the Lord Jesus and he's given me that right. He's adopted me into his family. And you too can have a relationship with God like that. You've heard the word relationship a lot tonight, haven't you? That's because that's what we believe. We believe that Christianity is a relationship. You know, I've had enough of religion a long time ago. I'm not remotely interested. You know, if you want to say this and do that and whistle, I don't care. I mean, I really don't. It doesn't do anything for me. What does something for me is knowing I can talk to God anytime and he will talk back to me. Would you like to bow your heads with me? Tonight, I just want to simply offer you a challenge where you are sat. No one's looking. There's only God and I that are aware of this. But I want to give you the opportunity to accept this Jesus. And in accepting him, for you to receive acceptance from God. If tonight, something of what I've said to you has rattled you inside, maybe just sort of a little voice is whispering in your ear, this is you. Then if you tonight want to have relationship with God, then I'm going to invite you now. Would you show God by just sticking your hand in the air and putting it down again? No one will see this other than me and God. And I'm not going to make a fuss of you. But I am here tonight entreating you, calling out to you. Don't miss an opportunity like this, because tonight God wants to adopt you in his family. Is that you? Thank you. Thank you. One other thing is this. Jesus is the light and life of men. Some of the songs we've sung tonight, trading your sorrows, trading your sickness, things like that. We've sung about being free from all sorts of trouble in this world. If tonight you would just like to, for us to pray with you, not to make a fuss of you, but just to pray with you now, then I just ask you to come out whilst music is playing and we'll just pray with you quietly and then you can return to your seat. And you know what? Tonight I believe God is in the business of answering prayer. I believe God wants to touch you. He wants to meet your need. He wants to bring peace to your troubled mind. He wants to bring healing to your body. He wants to give you direction. If that's you tonight, just come forward and we'll pray with you.